It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is kimmonson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter where you will get first look at all of our upcoming guests as well as our most recent podcasts, Sounding Off with Kim Monson podcasts, and our most recent op-eds. Big show planned for you today. It is a very special day. It is Constitution Day, September 17th, 1787. The Constitution was signed by those delegates at the Constitutional Convention, putting in place a document that has done more for individual human freedom than almost any other document out there. We had the vision of the Declaration of Independence. The Constitution is put in place to protect individual rights. When that happens, everyday individual people can thrive and prosper, hence the whole American idea. So happy Constitution Day, Producer Steve.
Yes, and unless you're, if you're keeping score, that makes it 233 years old.
And we need to be protecting it. This Constitution is under assault right now, and that is why we do this show. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. It is never compassionate to take other people's property, their rights, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. And we have to ask all these critical thinking questions: what, why, when, how, where, and who. I always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Producer Steve, Zach, Keith, Patty, and Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And I appreciate each of you listeners also. You're treasured, you're valued. Strive for excellence. Be the very best version of yourself today possible. And take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our inspiration and wisdom for today is from John Adams. He was an American statesman, attorney, diplomat, writer, and founding father who served as the second president of the United States from 1797 to 1801. Before his presidency, he was a leader of the American Revolution that achieved independence from Great Britain, and he served as the first vice president of the United States. He was born 1735. He died July 4th, 1826. And this is actually so interesting. That was 50 years to the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed. And he and Thomas Jefferson died on the same day, within 5 hours of each other. And it's been said that John Adams, when he was on his deathbed, he was not able to go out and really enjoy all of the fireworks celebrating American independence. But right before he died, he said, "Jefferson lives." And then a few short hours later, Jefferson died as well, 50 years to the day after they signed the Declaration. Steve, do you not just find that so interesting?
Well, considering the roles that they played, it's more than interesting, and it's incredible coincidence, too.
It is an incredible coincidence. This is what John Adams said. He said, "A constitution founded on these principles introduces knowledge among the people and inspires them with a conscious dignity, becoming free men. A general emulation takes place, which causes good humor, sociability, good manners, and good morals to be general. That elevation of sentiment inspired by such a government makes the common people brave and enterprising. That ambition which is inspired by it makes them sober, industrious, and frugal." Thought that was super interesting. I'd never actually seen that quote before, Steve.
No, and the principles he's talking about, let's have a little civics lessons, was limited government, republicanism, checks and balances, federalism, separation of powers, all these terms had their origins in our Constitution.
And once again, this Constitution has put in place something to protect individual rights. And when people have their individual rights protected, then they can go after, they can pursue their happiness and thrive and prosper. And that has been the beauty of this great American idea. And what it has created is this big, broad middle class with private property rights, which I want to go to our first headline that Patty has pulled here. I actually heard about this a few weeks ago. I was at a backyard party and then received an email on this yesterday. And it is Safe and Sound Denver is a grassroots effort of Denver residents who are advocating for the safety and well-being of our neighborhoods. They have very serious concerns about this new group living zoning code amendment and its massive changes. And it's using single family neighborhoods as an experiment. And I think this is going to be heard at Denver City Council within the next week. And in essence, what they're going to do is that it'll change things that will allow density in all single family neighborhoods to increase by 150%. Now, they say in a time of COVID-19 crowding concerns, they're concerned about that. It allows new 1 to 10 person community corrections and homeless shelters in all neighborhoods with no limitations. It allows new 11 to 40 person community corrections and homeless shelters in many neighborhoods with few limitations. It encourages the commercialization of single family neighborhoods as operators and investors buy existing housing stock instead of owner occupants. You know, we've talked with Karen Levine, REMAX realtor, award-winning realtor, and we've talked about private property rights. She'll be on the show tomorrow. But one of the big things that has been important for everyday people is to be able to buy their own home, and they can create wealth with that. Let's think about this, Steve. When you start to have group homes coming into a neighborhood, it changes it from having the family across the street with three little kids in the home to here's a list of some of the people that could be into these group homes. Assault, usually second degree, dangerous drugs manufacturers, menacing, homicide, aggravated robbery, usually with a weapon, aggravated motor vehicle theft, carjacking, child abuse, sex offense, kidnapping. Now, let's just think about it. If you've got, in one case, maybe 1 to 10 individuals that have done this, or in another case, they said 11 to 40, does that not change the fabric of your neighborhood, the fabric of your kids going out to ride their bikes in front of their homes? And so what will happen is it will start to negatively affect the property values in those homes. And so this is a very subtle way to, again, assault private property rights. And we talk about it all the time. Under Marxism, it gets rid of the individual and it also gets rid of private property rights. So this is actually Marxism trying to wrap it up in saying that they are helping a vulnerable. In essence, it is an assault on everyday hardworking people and the nest egg that they have put together with their private property rights. Steve, do you have a quick comment on that before we get to Andy McCain?
Well, I was just getting Andy set up here. I lost my place, but I did have a, let me change screens here. Council members are leading this effort to create community corrections in small houses and neighborhoods with little or no supervision. What is their motivation? I mean, is it like jail crowding issues and we don't want to build another jail, or I don't get it.
Well, actually, it could be hidden behind all kinds of different reasons. But ultimately, the big picture is this is an assault on private property rights. This is an assault on everyday people owning their home. This will actually affect their home values. It'll affect the safety of their neighborhoods. And so I don't know how they're going to wrap it up. But ultimately, that's the big picture on that. That's why the Constitution is so important. It was put in place to protect private property rights, individual rights. And Andy McCain is on the line with me. He is, it made it his life's work to make sure that school-aged children have our Constitution and understand our Constitution. Andy McCain is the founder of Liberty Lives Forever. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Happy Constitution Day.
And right back at you. So you have made it your life's work to make sure that everyday Americans understand our Constitution. So tell our listeners a little bit about Liberty Lives Forever.
Well, what we're trying to do is get adults to read and discuss the contents of the U.S. Constitution with their family, friends, co-workers, anyone in their network. It's a grassroots effort of we the people. So if anyone wants a free U.S. Constitution, they can email me, and I'll send them a digital copy. My email is Andy, A-N-D-Y, at libertylivesforever.org. Andy at libertylivesforever.org, and I'll send you a free U.S. Constitution. I also have a Declaration of Independence, if you want that as well. And the idea is the law that was passed was for the schools. Because of COVID, it's kind of tough this year. So I'm reaching out to all people that care about this country and want to make sure that they're educated and people around them are educated as to what's in the U.S. Constitution so we can preserve, protect, and defend our way of life. It's really important because we're blessed to be Americans with our representative republic and our Bill of Rights and the other rights that we have. They're very important to protect them and keep them.
Well, and that is for sure. And I'm heading up to Grand Lakes U.S. Constitution Week a little bit later today. I'll be speaking this afternoon at 4 o'clock regarding this is the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote, 2020. Right. And so I'll be talking about suffragettes and feminism and freedom girls. And so I'm excited to get up to Grand Lake. They are doing amazing work up there, Annie McCain. Are you going to make it up there sometime either today, tomorrow, or Saturday for the big celebration?
Yeah, probably Saturday. My wife is working, so she can't go. So she said, Andy, go, because she knows how much this means to me to support what they're doing at Grand Lake. And I'd like to see next year other communities around Colorado following the lead of Grand Lake and what they're doing. I think it would be important if all of our 64 counties participated next year and did something like that, because I think public education is the key.
I totally agree, and you're doing such amazing work. So, Andy McCain, thank you so much. And people can email you at andy@libertylivesforever.com, right?
Org.
Okay, .org. That's andy@libertylivesforever.org. And you right. will email them a copy of the Constitution and also the Declaration. These are compatible documents, two of the most amazing documents in human history. And Andy, thank you so much for all of the great work that you're doing.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great day and have fun up in Grand Lake, okay?
I will. Okay. And we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, this show is brought to you by these amazing partners that I get to work with. And Hooters Restaurants is one of those partners. And they have, it's just a great September Colorado days to go over, enjoy some of the sports that are on the televisions. They have specials, dine-in specials. As well as to-go specials. And I love this party pack, which is available Monday through Thursday and all day Saturday and Sundays. For more information about what's going on over there, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. And be sure and patronize all of these great sponsors that I get to work with. This is Kim Munson. I'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there where you will get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as first look at our most recent podcasts and op-eds. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. You know her. She is a radiologist. She's in the business of helping save women's lives because of her work with breast cancer. She also read the complete PPACA, which was the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And she also, though, has such a deep understanding and a deep appreciation for the American idea. Since it's Constitution Day, I thought we'd change it up just a little bit and get Dr. Jill's perspective on our Constitution. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim.
So, our Constitution, you know, and actually, you and I, there were three of us that initially started in radio together right here on KLZ 560. And remember what we did is we went through the complete Constitution on the radio. It was pretty fun.
You know, we put in so much research on that. We met every week and talked about what we found out, because we started with the Declaration. Our very first show was Breaking Up is Hard to Do, right? The Declaration of Independence. And it was so much fun to explore going deep into the Declaration of Independence and then through the Constitution. It took us like a year and a half to do it with the once weekly show. I thought what was so surprising to me in the Declaration of Independence was, if you look at the individual complaints that the colonies had against Mother England and the king, almost every one of those things is happening right now.
It is.
With our own government. It was pretty shocking to me. And I thought it was cute, because when we did our show, it was you, me, and Molly, and we went to Washington, D.C. one summer and called on congressmen and senators and that sort of thing. We had a wonderful trip. And before we did that trip, do you remember we got a bunch of copies of the Constitution? Because you wouldn't, you know, even though they take an oath to abide by the Constitution and uphold the Constitution, most congressmen don't seem to have ever read the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a bunch of copies of the Constitution. We put a little sticker on the back. Do you remember it?
I do.
Yeah, so we had a little sticker of the AmeriChicks, and it was based on the premise of, when a woman asks her husband, "Do these pants make my butt look big?" Right? So what our congresspeople should be asking is, does this legislation make my government look big, right? The Constitution, if they're abiding by the Constitution, it would not make the government look big.
You know, I forgot that part of it, Jill, and that was so clever, as does this law, regulation, or rule make my government look big. That was so clever.
Exactly.
I'm glad you dusted that off and brought that
we
back.
We came up with that. I know, I found this. So these were can I read the three things here that we had?
Yes.
The three kind of rules that we had. Number one, equal protection under the law. Is everyone treated the same under this bill, or are some folks given special treatment? And you could also say, or are some people penalized more?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, politicians have a method of generating campaign donations by proposing legislation called milker bills and double milker bills, M-I-L-K-E-R, because they're milking industries or companies or individuals out of money to donate. They're forcing people to donate to their campaigns so that this legislation won't be passed because it could harm them. Or they're donating to a campaign in order to get legislation proposed and passed, mm-hmm, that would benefit them over another industry or group.
You know,
that happens all the time.
It does. And Dr. Jill, one of the things that I learned on all this, I used to think, and there was this narrative that there was one political party that liked business and the other didn't. What I realized is big business and big government like each other, because big business has the accountants and the attorneys and the lobbyists to go out and have, as you mentioned, laws put in place that don't treat everyone impartially. It actually is advantageous to big business, which squelches innovation and creation of smaller companies. And
exactly.
And so big business and big government like each other.
Exactly. The more regulations, the better. Big business can abide by the regulations. They have more resources, whereas the little guy is the one that gets squashed.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, property rights and individual rights. Protect me, protect my stuff. I think that's the easiest way for me to explain the Constitution to people. The Constitution is to protect we the people and protect our stuff. And that means protecting, that includes protecting us against government, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution is our friend, not the government's friend. It's our friend to protect us against an overreaching government. And I think the American people have completely forgotten that. Anybody who wants to take the Constitution away from us or claims it's invalid because the founders were slave owners doesn't want to protect their people anymore, and they should be gone, in mm-hmm. my opinion. That's a simple way to look at it.
You know, voted out of office, for sure.
Yep, mm-hmm. And instead of protecting us and protecting our stuff, too often politicians want to give us stuff and take care of us, or claim to take care of
right.
us. Right. So there was a good quote by Daniel Webster that I found that kind of talks about this. It's hardly too strong to say that the Constitution was made to guard people against the dangers of good intentions. There are men in all ages who mean to govern well, but they mean to govern. They promise to be kind masters, but they mean to be masters. They think there need be but little restraint upon themselves. The love of power may sink too deep in their own hearts.
Wow.
And that was written at the time of the Constitution. You know, they predicted that all this stuff would happen. And it is coming to pass, but mm-hmm. too many folks are thinking that the government and this whole socialist movement is about our two generations of kids being taught that if they have a problem, they should turn to the government. Mm-hmm. The government is there to fix all their problems and to take care of them throughout their lives, right? The life of Julia from mm-hmm. Obama's era.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever the government has power to give you everything you need, they also have the power to take away everything you have.
And that is a complete assault upon protecting me and protecting my stuff. It's the
exact
opposite.
Get out of my way. Let me accumulate my own stuff, but get out of my way so I can take care of myself and my family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they don't do too often.
Right.
The third one, is this the proper role of government? And Kim, you say this all the time. Is this the proper role of government? For federal legislation, it should be, does this fall under the Constitution? Does this legislation fall under the constitutional authority of the federal government? If not, it should be left to the states and the people to decide. That's the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. And we forget too often that, sure, there's federal rights, there are states' rights, but we forget about our own rights too often. And we're essentially not even included in this decision-making process too often, because of this need of power, follow the money, aspects of state and federal politicians and lobbying groups and industries, the people are the ones that are left by the wayside.
They're really the ones in the frying pan, because all of this legislation, you know, it's different ways to take away people's stuff. I don't know if you heard the first segment here, but there's this potential change in Denver, where in single family neighborhoods, and I've had Randall O'Toole on, and I had a great conversation with him that I hadn't really thought about, that zoning laws where you have zoned for single family homes, that is a property right. That is kind of something that people came in, they all agreed that this is what it's going to be. And now here in Denver, the city council is entertaining the idea of putting group homes, correction homes, in these neighborhoods, which, as I really look at that, that is an assault on those private property rights of the people that live there. And And so there, it, instead of protecting people's stuff, it's going to be an assault on, ultimately, what will happen is an assault on people owning homes in those neighborhoods. And I think private property ownership of single-family homes. We see this consistently now. And ultimately, Dr. Jill, Marxism gets rid of the individual, the individuality of people, and puts them in groups. But the other thing that it does is, and I just have almost finished rereading the Communist Manifesto, is Marx makes it very clear. People should not have the right to own property. And so it's so antithetical to the Constitution and the American idea. And we are seeing this played out. We're seeing this clarified in our society right now. Dr. Jill, what's your final thought on all this?
I think people need to remember that the Constitution is there for us as individuals. When you read the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers, all of the commentaries that were written at the time that the Constitution was being drafted, it is all about, remember that the individual person, government is run by the people. It doesn't run the people, it is run by the people. We were never meant to have career politicians. One of the biggest things we need to do is have a changeover of who's in Washington. A regular, like Mark Twain said, government should be changed. Government and babies' diapers should both be changed frequently and for the same reason. So, I think now that an election's coming up, it's time to pay very close attention to who you put in office, because you know, you're giving them a lot of power and you're giving them permission to that power. We got to be more careful.
Very well said, and for another conversation, we need to walk back this whole administrative state that has been, created as well. So, Dr. Jill Vecchio, I so appreciate your thoughts today regarding the U.S. Constitution. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, happy Constitution Day to you.
Well, yes, very happy, and to you too.
What's your thoughts about our U.S. Constitution, Jason McBride?
Well, I think we could get rid of most of the thousands and millions of pages of laws and regulations and legislation and all the other garbage and the deep state, the administrative state that you guys talked about. And, you know, if we just kind of refer back to that document to govern our decisions, I think we'd be okay for the most part, Kim. I don't think we needed to take that and expand it by, you know, probably about a million times since it's been created to try to run the country.
You know, a reset to the vision of the Constitution and starting over and getting rid of all this bureaucratic administrative stuff and having politicians be accountable to the people. That sounds like a great idea, Jason McBride.
It does. And yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, no, you go ahead on that.
Well, I was going to say, you very often bring up one example is, you know, everyone is equal and we shouldn't have special treatment for some people and worse treatment for others. And that's one of the best examples right there. You know, we don't need a bunch of laws and regulations for different groups to make them different. Everyone gets equal rights, period. We don't need any qualifier beyond that, do we?
You know, I think that you are channeling your inner Calvin Coolidge, Jason McBride, because he said if all men are created equal, then that is final. That is the ideal that we want to work to. We're not always perfect on it, but man, as you just mentioned, when we have laws and rules and regulations that treat people differently because of whatever descriptor, we're way off the rails on this whole idea that all men are created equal. You have to get up pretty early in the morning to get one past you, Jason McBride. That's very, very a great golden nugget for the show today. Thank you.
Well, you get up pretty early, Kim, so you know, you often do get one past me.
So, Jason McBride, happy Constitution Day, and I would highly recommend that people reach out to you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management for a portfolio checkup. You know, we're in, as as wasn't it Thomas Paine who said that we are in times that try men's souls. And so from an investment standpoint, you want to make sure that you take your temperature on that. I'd highly recommend people reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And happy Constitution Day to you, Jason McBride.
Well, thank you, Kim. I sure appreciate being one of your partners, and you do a great job and a great service.
Okay. You have a great day. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Professor John Eastman. He is the professor of conservative and the visiting professor of conservative thought and policy here at CU Boulder. And he is also the keynote speaker up at Grand Lakes U.S. Constitution Week. He'll be speaking on Saturday. I would highly recommend that you make a trip up there. It's going to be a beautiful weekend. Grand Lake is a place where the good Lord is absolutely showing off. So let's go to break, and we'll be right back with Professor John Eastman.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And I'm proud to be an American. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. I am so excited to have on the line with me Professor John Eastman. He is the visiting professor of conservative thought and policy at CU Boulder this year. And he's nationally known, writes many articles. He's an expert on the Constitution. He's the perfect guy to have on today, Constitution Day. John Eastman, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Kim, for having me on. Happy Constitution Day to all your audience.
Well, it is a very important day, and you're going to be headed up to Grand Lake as you are the keynote speaker for their event on Saturday, which it is just a really special thing. This is the 9th annual Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week, and it's amazing what that little community does. So I would highly recommend people to go up this weekend and hear your thoughts on that.
Well, and I'm speaking on Saturday at noon right after a flyover, but my wife, who's the other visiting senior scholar in conservative thought at University of Colorado Boulder, she's speaking at 4 p.m. Friday afternoon, so they could get a double whammy.
Well, and if they want to get a triple whammy, I'm speaking today at 4, so we're all lined up.
very good. I forgot about that. Yes, indeed. Yes. Very good.
So let's talk big picture, first of all, Professor Eastman, regarding the Constitution and why it is so important and what is happening right now in America regarding the Constitution.
Well, you know, look, this has been the most successful experiment in self-government ever practiced in human history. And it's in part because of two things. The Declaration of Independence setting out universal truths that we would apply as the foundation for creating this country, and then the Constitution that put those truths in practice very substantially, separating powers from legislative and executive and judicial so that nobody had too much power, and then further separating them vertically. The federal government was assigned only certain things to do that needed to be done collectively in common. All the rest of the powers were reserved to the states or to the people, so that the people would have a greater local control over the government that operated most directly on their day-to-day lives. And it's been a fabulous success, although, you know, in the last 70 or 80 years or so, we've ignored the limits on the federal constitution, on the federal government, And the federal government has just grown beyond measure to the point that it controls or thinks it should control every single aspect of our lives.
And how do we get this back in the box that it's supposed to be? I actually think there's some opportunity with this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. I think that there may be some opportunities to tap government back down into the boxes that they're supposed to be. What do you think, Professor Eastman?
Well, I think so, too. But it's going to take an educated and a more virtuous citizenry than we have right now. So we've got to make sure that we're participating efforts to make sure the next generation of citizens understand the principles of our Constitution and understand the necessity of putting the common good ahead of their own base self-interest. These things are critical in a Republican government. Otherwise, majorities become majority tyranny, and they take property from others. They ignore the law, and that's what we're seeing breaking out in many parts of the country, in Portland, in Minneapolis, and lots of other places.
Well, and it's astounding, you know, what we're seeing. I just have finished, or just about finished, rereading the Communist Manifesto. I was going through an exercise with some of my other women friends on that. And what I'm seeing is that there's becoming clarity on what has been happening in America, that Marxism gets rid of the individual, and it also gets rid of private property rights, which is totally antithetical to the American idea. And so, for example, when we have rule of law breakdown, and when we talk about rule of law, that is law that goes back, I think, to the Constitution, John, we are seeing city councils and state governments and bureaucrats put in place things that do not pass the muster of the constitutional law. And so when we talk about rule of law, I think that people understand that it has to be constitutional rule of law. What's your thoughts, John?
Absolutely. And the COVID controversy and the Constitution is the subject of my talk on Saturday up at Grand Lakes. Every state has statutes in place that were properly passed that give the governor or an unelected public health official emergency powers to respond to an outbreak of a contagious disease. But they're all designed to be emergency powers, to respond immediately before the legislature can get back in session and weigh in and make the basic policy judgments. We've now treated those emergency powers as if they're on autopilot and the legislature doesn't need to do anything. And the people, therefore, have no say in balancing the risks and the harms that go along. We need to get back to the notion that the legislature has to make the law, that the people are ultimately the sovereign because they choose the legislature. And that basic core principle of separation of powers is being violated right before our eyes every single day in almost every state in the country.
Okay, you mentioned education, and you're a professor. You're here at CU. I'm so excited. I'd love to be taking your classes. We've seen in education that there's been kind of an assault on the Constitution, and one of the ways that they have done that is they've tried to dishonor that the founders say that they were slave owners, and that because of their potential flaws, that then the Constitution is flawed as well, and we should just throw the Constitution out. How do we address that as a citizenry with what has been happening, particularly educating our young people, John?
Well, I'm teaching a class this semester on American political thought, and we're confronting that issue. We're confronting the issue of how the colonial settlers dealt with the Native Americans. We're confronting the issue of slavery. Look, the fact of the matter is that throughout all of human history, adjoining peoples usually warred with each other. The victor enslaved the losers in the war. That had been with us through most of human history. It was unique to the United States to establish a principle and build our country on that principle that said all men, all human beings are created equal, that made slavery, announced slavery to be illegitimate because it deprived a certain class of people of the fundamental natural rights that they have from their creator. So it was us It was the slaveholder Thomas Jefferson that articulated that principle in the most eloquent way it's ever been articulated in all of human history. It set us on the path for eliminating slavery, even while he had inherited a slave system that they couldn't just overthrow immediately without catastrophic consequences for everyone. So, I mean, we were the ones that put the end to it, and our founders need to be praised for that, while acknowledging where they fell short and their shortcomings, so that we don't continue to rest on the shortcomings, but instead rest on the broader noble principles that they established and bequeathed to us.
Well, and Professor Eastman, I think a lot of our students are not taught that actually slavery was prevalent throughout the world at that time. It had been prevalent through history. There is still slavery occurring in the world today. That seems to me like some place, if people were really concerned about that would be a good place to put their energies. But I think it was Jefferson or one of the founders said that slavery has been foisted upon us. And so they realized that, you know, you can't say that all men are created equal and have slavery. And so it's just astonishing that within basically, what, a couple of generations, Americans went to civil war to answer that question, and hundreds of thousands of Caucasian straight males died to answer that question. I think that our kids need to see that big picture, John.
Well, they do. And look, every one of the founders, North and South, recognized that slavery was incompatible with the Declaration of Independence. They knew that they couldn't tackle it at the same time they were trying to create a country, because it would have ripped the country apart. It would have destroyed the economy of the South. We would not have had enough strength to win the Revolutionary War, or even after the Revolutionary War, to stop the salivating European powers who were still hoping we failed so that they could divvy up the North American continent again. So they put it off a little bit. They all genuinely thought that by doing so, it would expire of its own accord. And they even built into the Constitution an end date. They said, okay, no more slave trade after 1808. That gives us a little bit of a transition period to kind of get our things in order, but no more slave trade after 1808. And the day that was allowed, Congress banned the slave trade. Unfortunately, what had happened in the meantime is the discovery of the cotton gin made slavery much more profitable. The homegrown slave expansion was much more significant, and it became extremely difficult to put that genie back in the bottle at that point. That's what happened. And then you know, the history of the Civil War. And you're right, it was not a race war. It was not a revolt by the slaves. It was a war of brother against brother, of white citizen against white citizen, trying to force this country to adhere to the principles that it set out at the foundation.
That is one of the most eloquent thoughts that I've heard on that. It was to come to terms with this amazing Declaration of Independence that said that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with these certain rights. Professor John Eastman, we're going to go to break. When we come back, I've got a question for you regarding the General Welfare Clause, which is in the Constitution, and I think that it will be really educational for our listeners to understand what you think about that. Before we go to break, though, I want to give a shout out to another one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. It's a family-owned business located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. It is a fabulous store. They're open 7 days a week. I'd highly recommend to make a weekend trip out there. They have specialty knives for collectors, those in the military, of course, sportsmen, kitchen knives. I've given some great kitchen knife sets for a couple of wedding gifts just recently. So go to castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. This is Kim Munson, and we will be right back with Professor John Eastman.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, KimMunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Happy Constitution Day to all of you. The Constitution was signed September 17th, 1787. And one of the amazing things that happens here in Colorado is Grand Lake, Colorado, has put together a U.S. Constitution Week. This is their ninth annual. And Professor John Eastman will be the keynote speaker on Saturday. I think I'd highly recommend that you go up to Grand Lake and just enjoy this beautiful little community as well as what they're doing. And then Professor Eastman's wife will be the presenter tomorrow at 4. I'll be up there this afternoon presenting at 4. My subject is suffragettes, feminism, and freedom girls. So that should be interesting. And Professor John Eastman, it is just a thrill to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks very much. And we're very much looking forward to the Grand Lakes week this weekend up there. They've already been going for a couple of days, and I hear it's been an enthusiastic crowd thus far, and we're just delighted to have been invited to participate. What a wonderful testament to the patriotism of folks in Colorado, and the reminder of how significant our Constitution is.
And I'll have Tom Goodfellow on tomorrow morning. I'll be up in Grand Lake. We'll be broadcasting from there. And Tom is one of the real movers and shakers on this. And so we'll talk with him tomorrow morning. Professor Eastman, many years ago, I had seen a piece that you had written regarding the General Welfare Clause. And I was on my city council of my community in 2012 to 2016. And I ended up voting no on a proposal. It actually passed city council, but it was for money for Southeast Light Rail Extension. And the reason I voted no on it is because in order to make it happen, they received about, I think it was 92 or 90, and this would be RTD, $96 million in a New Start grant from the federal government. And I thought about it, and I thought, how is it okay that we have people from all over the country and also borrowing from our next generation to pay for this? If, in fact, we thought it was good for our community, we should pay for it and not go to the federal government. And so I was using a piece that you had written regarding the General Welfare Clause for my no vote. So I don't know if you ever knew that, but that is where this whole question kind of started with me after I'd seen your piece on the General Welfare Clause.
Well, thanks. You know, it's always wonderful to hear that your scholarship actually has some real world effect on occasion. I wrote that piece more than 20 years ago now. It's called Restoring the General to the General Welfare Clause. And it's one of the critical things to understand about our Constitution. The federal government is a government of only a limited enumerated powers. All of the day-to-day powers were supposed to be done by the state or local governments. And the tax and spend power is the first power listed in Article 1, Section 8. And it says Congress has the power to raise taxes to support the common defense and the general welfare. And those terms had very specific meaning. The common defense meant the national army to defend against foreign invasion and attack. the general welfare meant the general or national welfare, not the local or regional welfare. It meant I could pay for a string of lighthouses along the coast, because the entire trade of the United States, navigation trade of the United States, would be benefited. But I could not pay to give bounties to New England fishermen who were upside down because of a recession, bounties we would now call bailouts. I couldn't even pay to help rebuild Charleston, South Carolina when it burned, because that was a local thing. I couldn't pay to dredge the upper reaches of the Savannah River, because that benefited the folks of Georgia, not the nation as a whole. These were all specific examples in the early Congresses of things they rejected because they didn't meet the constitutional qualification. I had a similar experience that you had in my old hometown of Long Beach, California. They put a voter initiative in to have a bond measure to fund widening our main street and putting nice palm trees in, and the bond failed. And so then the city council said, well, the people here didn't want it, but we'll get a federal grant and make people in Rhode Island pay for it instead. It's absurd, and yet that's become the notion, that the general welfare allows Congress to spend on whatever it wants.
Okay, a question. When I cast this no vote, and again, very similar to what happened to your hometown in Long Beach, when I cast this no vote and said that I did not think it was fair that, you know, people in other states, and then also borrowing from our kids to pay for this, I did not think that that was fair. And the comment from both sides of the aisle was, well, Kim, if we don't take the money, somebody else will. What would you say to that, Professor Eastman?
Well, I think that's unfortunately true, because the courts here, the Supreme Court in particular, has abdicated its responsibility to check Congress's spending power. It would be a very easy matter for somebody to challenge that federal grant program, and for the court to say, yes, we can see that it helps advance the welfare as Congress sees it, but it's the local welfare of the people in that community, not the general welfare, and therefore it's unconstitutional. If the court were to do that and actually do its job and hold Congress to the limits of its power contained in the Constitution, then you wouldn't have that problem. If we pass up the money, somebody else will take it, because the court would have said it's invalid for anybody to take it.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm going to change my question just a little bit on something else, though. The term general welfare has been used to say that to support public programs, because it's for the general welfare. So, you know, societal government programs. What's your comments to that?
Well, I don't think so. The general welfare we called it welfare to try and pretend it was constitutional because of the phrase general welfare. It has to be general, not local, and certainly not individual. Right. The basic safety net authority of government, that was part of the police power. That was explicitly reserved to the states, not to the federal government. The police power is the power to help advance the health and safety and welfare and morals of the people. That's where we get social welfare programs. All of that was supposed to be done at the state level, because the theory there was you had greater control over your local officials than you would have for officials long far away in Washington, D.C. And different states could develop different policies. If we wanted to have a bigger social welfare program, we could do that in New York. If Texas or Colorado wanted to have a more entrepreneurial-based, less social welfare program, then they could do that as well. And the states could experiment and see which set of programs worked better. When you change it all and make it one size fits all out of Washington, D.C., you utterly destroy the distinction between federal government and state government, but you also take away the ability of experimentation. And when you adopt a program like we did with the 1960s Great Society program that destroys families, it destroys it the nation over, and there's no alternative out there to look to.
Okay, and you mentioned New York. So I'm thinking about states like New York and California and Illinois that on a state level have, I think, been very irresponsible with their finances. And instead of them being responsible for that, they have such a high population, sending representatives back to Congress, that that they want to use the federal government then to bail them out. How can we start to tap that down where they have to be responsible in Illinois, New York, and California for their decisions? And of course, we're seeing some net migrations out of these states. People are voting with they're moving. And that is why it's so important to have 50 different states with their own experiments so that people have different places to go. What's your thoughts on that, John? We've got just about a minute left.
Sure. Well, look, I hope the representatives from the other states vote no on any effort to bail those states out. All three of those states are in the mess they're in because of public employee unions basically stealing money from the taxpayers to line their own pockets, to the detriment of police services, of infrastructure updating and what have you. And it was those states that did that, and those states need to clean up their own mess. The folks from the rest of the country, it's not their job to bail them out. And I hope the other representatives from elsewhere in the country stay firm on that.
I totally agree with you on that. Professor Eastman, what is your final thought? We've got about 30 seconds.
Celebrate the Constitution. Get it out and read it. And read it along with the Declaration of Independence. It's a couple of the greatest documents ever penned in human history. And it has given us the most successful government in human history. And we need to appreciate it and rededicate ourselves to it every morning when we wake up, every day, and teach it to our children.
And we have a civic responsibility to do that. And we certainly want to elect people that want to protect the Constitution, because in doing so, they protect our individual rights and our right for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Professor John Eastman, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and happy Constitution Day.
Happy Constitution Day to you as well. And my friends, our quote for today is from George Washington, and he said this after the Constitution had been signed back in 1787. He said, "The foundation of a great empire is laid, and I police myself with a persuasion that Providence will not leave its work imperfect." So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.